Okay, Mayor Sturmer, we have everyone that I can see, and I'm not sure if they might be on a phone number that I can't identify, but I do not see Commissioner Glassman, Mayor Ryan, or Vice Mayor Havalana.
I saw Mayor Ryan.
Hi, Mayor Lou, I'm here.
Sabrina. Okay, thank you, Vice Mayor.
Mike Ryan's on the phone.
Mike Ryan's on the phone.
I'm on.
Thank you. So I'm looking for Commissioner Glassman.
I'm checking to see if I see him anywhere.
I don't see him signed in, at least with his name.
Right. We did have an RSP.
Thank you. This is Melissa Doyle with the City of Fort Lauderdale. Commissioner Glassman did have a scheduling conflict. I got an email this morning. He would be unable to attend.
Great. Got it. Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you.
All but one member present, and you have a quorum, and Mr. Bynick is here as chair of the TAC committee, so you should be good to go.
Thank you, Mary Lou, and good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the next and continuing meeting of the working group with regard to the solid waste issues. Hope everyone's summer has been going well, and everyone both at home and in your respective organizations, whether your government or private business, are safe and healthy. And now, I guess, prepared for the tropical storm that's going to come visit us this weekend. If Mother Nature wasn't, or if we weren't dealing with enough stress issues, let's just add a tropical storm to the mix. And really drive Bertha through the roof, because I know Bertha's on this call. So, Madam Chair, what I'd like you to do is just please call the roll so we can at least get on the record, get everyone's responses.
Mayor Sturmer?
Here.
Sally, you want to unmute folks? We're going to unmute everybody, but if you're not speaking and you're not a member of the working group for roll call, please mute yourself so we don't have any feedback. Thank you. Mayor Sturmer. Commissioner
here.
Furr?
This is Bertha. I know he's going to be on. We just jumped off another call. Just here enough to come on.
I'm here.
He's here with his,
thank you, Commissioner.
He's here with his 1970 headphones.
Exactly. You got it. There you go.
We know that that Commissioner Glassman will not be with us. Commissioner Good?
Tom's muted.
No, I got it.
Gotcha. Thank you, Commissioner.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Commissioner McMahon? Commissioner, I saw you with us.
I see him too, and I'm pressing unmute, but it's not allowing me to unmute him.
Commissioner McMahon, if you would unmute yourself. And then the bottom. Well, we'll come back and hopefully he'll be able to join us. Mayor Ryan?
Present.
Thank you. Vice Mayor Mayerson?
Here.
Vice Mayor Havalana?
I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. Why don't you open us up today?
Okay. Well,
finish calling.
Oh, wait. Beam. Let's have Commissioner. Sorry about that, Peter. My bad.
No problem.
Would you like to welcome everybody?
Sure. First of all, it's good to see everybody, even though it's kind of strange circumstances. And I know we've been keep us been knocked off here a few times. Hopefully we're still able to try to stay on the schedule that gives us a chance that we're get there before Dan's out of office. if there's any chance of that. But we still got a lot of work to do. So what we're going to hear today is the answers to many of the questions that all of us have had that help us in determining what's the best kind of governance structure to have, what kind of comprehensive waste system that we have. And so I think we're all looking for hearing those questions answered. And so Peter, look forward to it.
Can I just interject real quick? One thing I forgot to do is to advise everybody that this meeting is being recorded.
Okay. Well, first off, I'd like to welcome everybody and thank you for your participation. And today, on behalf of the TAC group, I'd like to present the findings that were requested on May 11th, 2020. As always, I'd like to start out by thanking everybody that is on our TAC committee. Without them, this work would not be possible. I would also like to thank everybody who's worked in the peripheries. Okay, there's a lot of people that have been working on the sidelines to help us. And in all honesty, we would not be able to accomplish what we have. So let's go ahead and open up the PowerPoint. Oof. All right, there we go. Okay. So let me see. I have it yet, Celie?
You have to request control of my screen so you can run the PowerPoint.
There we go. There we go. All right. There we go. We said this is the follow-up to the May 11th working group, and we're going to present the answers to your questions if possible. Okay. All right, so we did some the research, provide the responses to the questions from the working group on the overview of the governance structures and a regional solid waste management system. After our May 11th, 2020 meeting, we were given a list of questions that we've tried to provide the best responses possible. It's my goal today to present all this information to you in as simple and easy format as possible. As many of you know, I'm Peter Bienick, Director of Public Works for the City of Hollywood and the TAC Chair. I would also like to take a moment to recognize the TAC Subcommittee Chair, Subcommittee Chair A, Ralph Trapani from Miramar, Subcommittee B, Chair Leanne Henderson from Wilton Manors, Subcommittee Chair C, Phil Holst from Davie, Subcommittee Chair Alex Turgis from Coconut Creek, with some special thanks to Richard Solomon for his support and guidance, with some special thanks to Melissa Doyle, without whom none of the presentations would be nearly as good as they've been. She's been amazing through all this. So the rest of the presentation will be based off the questions that were asked, and we've tried to group them in like areas because they came in different orders. So we tried to put them in an order that made sense. All right, so the first question, what were the startup costs for the initial Broward County ILA Resource Recovery Board? Okay, during the 1980s, the state of Florida and federal government, federal government began discouraging the use of landfills as the sole method of disposal for solid waste and encouraged the development of alternative energy resources. In particular, Broward County's contour, elevation, and high groundwater required a more environmentally friendly way to handle the disposal of solid waste. Through the evolution of the RRB, in 1986, the Broward Solid Waste Disposal District was established as a dependent special district to create an integrated waste management system, including recycling and waste energy. The district was created through the execution of an ILA between the county and 22 contract communities. Through the evolution of the RRB, along with annexations and incorporations of several cities during the term of the district, There were a total of 26 contract communities at the end of the RRB term in 2013. The ILA agreements required flow control. The initial bond for the ILA was $535 million in 1984. Tipping fees from contract communities used to repay the bond obligation. The ILA was established Resource Recovery Board as the governing body for the district. RRB set tipping fees, but county retained budgetary control. Lifespan of the ILA intended only until the last full repayment of the bond obligation. The original size of the bonds was $535 million gross. The Series A bond was $265 million, Series B was $220 million, and the Series C was $50 million. As of 2012, more than 15% of the tipping fees paid funded administrative costs, storm debris management, public education, landfill operation, closure costs, along with the HHW and electronic events. In 1988, the Southwest Regional Landfill, originally Broward Interim Contingency Landfill, began operations. There was a P3 with Wheelabrator for the finance, design, construction, operation, and maintenance of ownership of the South Waste-to-Energy Plant and an adjoining ash monofill. In 1992, a North Waste-to-Energy Plant was created. In 1993, the contract established a MRF for processing of recyclables, also the Alpha 250 site. In 1988, the 588-acre site regional landfill began operations with 100-year life expectancy. 1986, the county entered into a public-private partnership with Wheelabrator Technology, a subsidiary for finance and design of construction, operations, and ultimately ownership of two waste-to-energy facilities. Although the contract communities paid for the waste-to-energy facilities funded through the bonds via tipping fees, the contractor retained ownership of both plants. Subsequently, the North plant ceased waste-to-energy operations. Broward County retains ownership of the land where the plants are sited along with the ash monofill. In 1993, a contract for the receiving, processing, and sale of recycled materials was entered into with Waste Management. Other assets of the system included a 162-acre ash monofill adjacent to the Wheelabrator South and a 50-acre Alpha 250 site and five mitigation areas. So the next question, what was the composition of the prior Resource Recovery Board? Under the original ILA in 1986, the RRB was composed of 9 members, 4 county commissioners, 4 municipal elected officials, 1 member who alternated between the two annually. In 2006, county commission agreed to an amendment to the ILA, changing RRB membership to 8 municipal elected officials and 1 county commissioner. So during the 2006, the change was intended to reflect that most areas within the county were incorporated or annexed, leaving only a smaller portion of Broward County remaining unincorporated. So that was the impetus behind that change to reflect the actual structure within the ILA. So question number 3. What would the composition of the governance board be for the district under a dependent special district? Per section 189.012 Florida statutes, the governing body of the dependent special district only has to meet one of the following criteria. It can be the exact same members as the Board of County Commissioners, be appointed solely by the Board of County Commissioners, or the membership is removable by the Board of County Commissioners. So whatever agreement is put forth, as long as the Board of County Commissioners can remove them, then it still meets the criteria. Or that whoever's put on it, as long as the Board of County Commissioners has final budget approval. Question 4, is the Palm Beach Solid Waste Authority required to comply with the terms under the special act since they converted from an independent to a dependent special district? So the answer is yes. The original rules of the charter under special act must be followed. Any new rules promulgated by the governing body under a dependent special district cannot supersede the rules of the special act. So as long as it doesn't contradict or change the special act rules, they can put new rules in place, but they do have to follow the original special act that was under the independent program. Question 5. Would we be able to collaborate with other counties to leverage regional synergies outside of our geographic area under an independent or dependent special district? Again, the answer is yes. Please keep in mind that in either forms of governance, you're still operating as a quasi-business. So any contracts or agreements with outside agencies or companies is possible as long as you are fulfilling the intent of the charter agreement. What that means is you're not going to go be able to go out and start making widgets for sale that have nothing to do with what your original intent of your program was. But as long as it states within the original intent, yes, you can. Question six, what is the lifespan for each of the governance structures? An independent special district obviously is established by the charter. And in the charter, those types of charters, they're usually forever, unless there is some special statute. It can be dissolved or merged based on the Florida statutes. A dependent special district, it's going to be as established by the ordinance that creates it. And again, it can be dissolved based on the Florida statutes. An ILA, it will be determined by the ILA and as agreed to by all parties or until terminated as specified in the ILA. Question seven, what would the startup cost be based on the types of governance structures? There should not be a significant difference in startup costs based on solely on the governance structure. Because please keep in mind that whatever you're putting in place, those costs should be the same across the board. The largest cost will be the capital cost for infrastructure. These costs will be influenced by the actual facilities developed under the new district. So what we tried to do was put together some examples of cost for infrastructure that should stay consistent pretty much across any form of the government. Using the Arcadis report and other information that we've been provided, we put together three rough scenarios, okay? Scenario A would be at $329 million to $332 million in 2020 dollars for a recycling MRF, bulk, yard waste, mixed organics, but no waste to energy expansion. Under scenario B, we would anticipate $457 to $460 million for a recycling MRF, bulk, yard waste, mixed and waste to energy expansion. Under scenario C, it would be approximately $285 to $288 million for a recycling MRF, bulk, yard waste, and waste to energy expansion. Now, please keep in mind with all these costs that the operational expenses and administrative costs would be additional. Now, these costs also assume a 30-year loan repayment at 4%. Again, these are just samples of what startup costs could be. Please keep in mind that whenever a board is constituted or put together, or whatever governance structure we go to, they would have to decide what infrastructure we're going to be putting in, so the numbers could change. These are just examples. As what would be recommended that once there is a governance structure or prior to it, that maybe we have another engineering firm or consultant come on board based on what's being provided to create a more comprehensive scope and expected costs. Question eight, if a dependent special district or ILA were established, would they have the authority to require flow control to those municipalities that opt not to participate? The answer is no. Unfortunately, what they would have to do, they can do it through incentives, but they can't mandate it. The only one that can mandate it is the independent special district. Question nine, how would a city's credit rating be impacted by each of the governance structures? Independent special district, there should be no impact. A dependent special district, there should be no impact, with one caveat. Assumes the district is dependent upon Broward County, may have an impact on county if district fails to meet its obligations. Under an ILA, there could be impacts because everybody who's a part of the ILA, basically would be putting their credit up and on behalf of the ILA. Question number 10. What, if any, would be the benefit of managing hauling activities under an independent or dependent special district? Well, there'd be an economy of scale, consistent programs and messaging across the county, potential for multiple vendor awards, and may minimize administrative costs. You've seen this in other counties where they do that sort of thing. A lot of times it's called piggybacking contracts. That's where your economy of scales would come in. Question 11, what size recovered materials processing facility would be required to satisfy Broward County's needs? Current annual tons generated within Broward County. The Articatus reports estimates 361,562 tons for 2020 and anticipates 472,742 tons by 2060. The waste management facilities process 173,000 tons annually. The Pembroke Pines processes 170,000 tons annually with a capacity of 240,000 tons, 400 tons per day. The RMPF is a 96,000 square feet on 135 acre campus, which includes transfer station handling class 1, 2 and C&D debris. Deerfield processes 3,000 commercial tons annually. 72,000 tons transferred annually to the Reuter facility for processing. It's a 38,000 square foot facility on a 3 acre campus. In Palm Beach County, the Solid Waste Authority facility is 138,000 square feet and can process 750 tons per day or 90,000 tons in 2019. The Arcadis report suggests a district would need up to 135,000 square foot facility to process up to 400 tons per day. How much property would be required for a transfer station? The size of the facility would be influenced by the materials being accepted, areas within the county it is supporting, volumes being accepted, hauling distance for final disposition, and co-located functions. So it's going to be dependent on by what we design and what we desire it to do. So it could be as small as 5 acres, could be usable, depending on the commodities accepted. Currently, we have the Alpha 250 site that could be used. It would be advantageous to look at multiple locations throughout the county to minimize windshield time. Please keep in mind that if you only have one location and everybody has to go to it, the farther outlying municipalities or county regions, anybody that does contracts with them would be charging for the longer distance. So it'd probably be advantageous to look for multiple locations. So recommendations, get a consultant, should be engaged to develop that full analysis. Question 13, what is the cost to add a fourth burner to the current waste to energy plant? It'd be $180 million and this would cause an accelerated expansion or enclosure of the ash monofill. Current permitted capacity for the South Wheelabrator plant is 821,250 tons annually. An additional burner would increase that capacity to 1,095,000 tons annually, but it would also increase the rate of consumption of the ash monofill. A new plant would have the capacity to process 1,149,750 tons annually. So it all depends on the economies of scale and what you're trying to accomplish. The cost for a new waste-to-energy facility with three burners each at 1,050 tons per day, estimated at $945 million, and 5% more capacity than adding a fourth burner to the existing plant. Question 14, what are the options to fund a district and infrastructure needs? Under an independent special district, they have the ability to cap tax, but it's not capped by the county millage. They have the ability to implement non-ad valorem special assessments and to create bonds. Under a dependent special district, you have the ability to do taxes, but it is capped by the county millage because it is actually owned or it is managed through the county, so it affects their county millage. Then you also have the non-ad valorem special assessments. Under ILA, you have the ability to do non-ad valorem special assessments. All forms of governance can set rates, charges, and fees for products or services. They have the power to sell or finance all or a portion of their facility, and they also have the ability to create bonds. And that is pretty much all of the questions and the answers that we have. So I will open it up for questions from the working group. If I'm not able to answer it, the TAC subcommittee is here and will step in and answer questions that I may or may not be able to answer. So I'll turn it over to them.
Thanks, Peter, and appreciate you and all the members of the TAC understanding everyone's getting pushed and pulled in a variety of directions to follow up with the what appears to be thorough information based on the questions that were submitted. Mr. Vice Chair, you have questions, follow up?
I have a question, yes.
Commissioner, not yet, Commissioner. Vice Mayor, I'm sorry.
You said Vice Mayor, so yeah, my apologies.
It's Vice Chair Fur.
I'll go ahead.
Yes, the problem is the Vice Mayor is not part of the working group at the moment, so.
Oh, okay.
We're going through the working group. So, Beam?
First of all, thanks to the TAC for all those. A lot of interesting parts to that. One of the answers that intrigued me was on the composition of the dependent district. Can we go back to that slide for a minute? Is that possible?
Celia, I'll have to run it. She's got control of it.
Okay. Because it talked about, one, the Broward County Commission being one option, the appointments being the second, and I'm assuming that opens the door for much like when the RRB was first established, that you have a mixed composition of county commissioners and city commissioners. Am I correct on that?
Yes, you could actually have a citizen on the board. Board can be created to look however you want it, as long as in the end, the Broward County, under a dependent, the Broward County would be able to dissolve it or would have budget authority over it. In other words, that board can look like whatever you want it to look like.
Okay.
You could have commissioners from every municipality. You could have employees. You could have a citizen from within the county on it.
Okay. So we have a lot of flexibility on that one.
Yes.
Sounds like. And then if someone is to be removed, this is the part I was trying to figure out. It says membership is removable by the BCC. So let's say you've got a citizen appointment. The BCC can remove that person?
Yes. In other words, the Board of County Commissioners retains control over the board.
Over the composition?
Over the composition and whoever's on the board, whoever's appointed.
And on the, so now let me go to like to the independent.
Okay.
We kind of, the membership of that, can we go back to that? Is there, I don't know if there was a question on that.
There was no specific question on that. Usually under the independent special district, I believe that would be part of the actual charter, what it looks like. And when the charter was created, it would be designated at that point.
And I think there was some concern about losing local control on that. That was what, or at least I had some concerns on that. In that it could be, suddenly you could have governor appointments on that. You could, you know, depending on how the legislature decided to pass it. Is that correct?
From what I've heard and the way we understand it, when the local entities desire to go into an independent special district, they would basically write the legislation that they want, and that would be presented to the state government for approval.
It may not be what they get, though.
You may not be what you get, correct.
Right.
But from what I've also heard is they really don't dive that deep into it. Most of what the state government does is have oversight over the finances to make sure that you're not doing anything illegal. So you should be able to appoint how the members, how you choose, how they're elected, and that would be covered under that charter. Once it's in the charter, the state government really doesn't dive into what you're doing on that end of it.
Okay. This is the main part. The other thing that interested me is the actual startup costs, because that, you know, that half a billion mm-hmm. that started with the RRB, that was a bond. Was that bond? Because then I forgot if the county did the bond and it was, or if waste management did the bond.
That maybe somebody on the TAC committee could answer, because I don't know that answer myself. I wasn't here for it.
I know the RRB was responsible for paying the bond, but I wasn't sure who put up the bond.
Yeah, I don't have that answer. Does anybody from the committee have that answer?
This is Melissa. The information we were provided by Bertha and county staff was that those were county. Bertha, did you want to step in?
Yes, the bond for the facilities were IDBs, the Industrial Revenue Bonds.
Okay.
And the entity that, in this case, it would have been Waste Management or the prior company, they would have issued the bonds and they would have had responsibility to make sure that those bonds are paid. And the contracts or the ILAs that were entered into do the flow control or to that facility would have been what they used to get the money.
Okay. Because I think it's important to recognize on all three scenarios that you put forward, Peter, and that Arcadis had put forth, all of those are, you know, we're looking at, you know, almost a half a billion on almost all those. That initial money is a huge consideration. And I think when we were looking at other ILAs throughout the state, all of those were very small in comparison as to what their startup costs were. If I'm not mistaken, they were in the $9 to $15 million range.
Well, keep in mind that they were older. Some of them were older. The other thing is these numbers were put together based on what the infrastructure would look like. And not all that infrastructure has to be implemented right off the bat. So I believe what it said with the original Resource Recovery Board, the bonds that were put out were actually in a three series process. So the whole amount didn't come out at one point. Okay. It was done over a period of time.
Okay.
Hey, this is Alex. Can I interrupt for a second? Because you had a question before about the governance and how it's set up in Tallahassee. And just to answer your question, we polled as many lawyers as we could find and didn't find any case where they made any major changes to something that was set forth, any kind of a special act.
Okay. Those are my initial questions, Chair.
Thank you. Vice Mayor Habalana.
I think what the question, okay, so one of the questions I submitted was regarding the lifespan of the board, because at one of our earlier meetings, we discussed that we don't want to keep coming back to this, to reconvene a working group and set a new board, a new structure every, 10 years or so. So I saw that, for the different options for dependent, independent ILA, that it's really up to what we make it. And so that's why I was a little bit confused when I saw that one, because I thought we discussed at an earlier meeting that there were limitations by legislation on how long the structures can last, or for some of them.
I believe under the independent, Alex, you may be able to answer that better. Actually, I'll let Alex answer that one.
Okay, thank you.
Alex?
Sorry, I'm back. Can you repeat the question?
I just had a few questions. So I thought at one of our earlier meetings earlier this year, when we were discussing the lifespan of these different structures, that there were limitations on some of them on how long they could last. And we don't want to reconvene every, 10 years to go over this process again. So I was surprised when I saw that the different, options that we have, it's really up to us on how long this will last. Could you elaborate on that a little bit? Because I thought for one of them, there was a limit.
The only one that has a limit is the ILA, and that's because there's always an out clause on any kind of deal like that. The other two, because they're created by special act, they're Florida statutes that claim or explain how they're dissolved or changed.
Okay.
Yeah, the special acts are basically until somebody dissolves them by Florida statute.
And that would be to dissolve them, who would have to approve that? Would that be the legislature through legislation or the Board of County Commissioners?
I think it depends who creates it. If it's created by Board of County Commissioners, I would assume they would be the ones that would dissolve it. I'm not a lawyer, so I'd have to ask them or get their opinion on that. But
The independent special district would probably have to be dissolved by the state, would not be able to be dissolved by the local entities.
But the request would come from the parties involved.
Right.
Okay, thank you. I'm okay for now, Chair Sturmer.
Thank you. Vice Mayor Green. Vice Mayor Good.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to say that I echo your sentiments about folks being pulled in a million directions and yet still being able to pull off a very good presentation. I'm very, very pleased with the information that was brought forward by the TAC, and I don't have any further questions at this time. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, sir. Mayor Ryan.
I don't have any questions. I do thank everybody. I put a request in the message box. Maybe it was circulated earlier, but could we get a copy of the PowerPoint?
It's there now.
I have some comments, but I don't have questions. So when we get to a comment phase or decision points, we can address that.
Understood. Mary Lewis circulated the presentation. It's in your inbox.
Mayor Sturmer, let me clarify that. I've sent the PowerPoint to the entire working group. It will be available to the public on the league website this afternoon. We have a little technical glitch there, but it will be up by the end of the day.
Understood.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mayor. Let me
just say, I'm not sure I received it, but it may be because of the size of the file. So I'll follow up with you, Mary Lou. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
It's a 2 meg file, so it's on its way. Commissioner, Vice Mayor Good.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. I just wanted to follow up a little bit with that. Is it also too possible to get a list of the attendees for this meeting as well? I mean, I see quite a few of them. I just don't know how we would be able to track that.
Commissioner, I am going through and writing every name that is fully identified. There are some that are just first names, as well as others that are just phone numbers. So to the best of my ability, I will try and identify all the 84 participants on the call.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Commissioner Mayerson.
First of all, I want to thank the TAC committee for answering all of the questions, but I have no further questions, I guess, on the questions. The only thing that I'm just seeing here creates a lot more variables and just gives us a lot more food for thought.
Agreed. Commissioner McMahon.
Good afternoon. I have no more questions and just want to thank the TAC group for putting this all together. And I know everybody, like the other commissioner said, is that, everyone's pulled pretty thin right now. So I have no questions at this time, but thank you for all the answers to the questions that are up on the board.
Thank you. And Commissioner Glassman isn't with us this afternoon. We've had...
Mayor Sturmer, did you get Commissioner Tooley?
I'm sorry, Commissioner Tooley, my apologies.
I thought you were my friend.
No, I'm sorry. My bad. Becky?
Yeah. Okay. I listened to all the TAC meetings. They did an awesome job.
But I'd like to ask a follow-up question as it relates to all three of the potential government structures. Can you please address how potential future property acquisition will be handled? I'm looking at the long-term implications for my residents and would like to know if any of the three proposed structures include the powers of eminent domain, just as a, for instance, if the future district needed to be taken property for a new facility, would they have these powers?
That's a good question. I would probably start out by saying under a dependent special district, the county entity does have eminent domain and would do it through the county for the dependent special district. Under an ILA, they probably would not unless they worked with the county entity. Under the independent special district, again, I don't think they have that authority, but that's something the legal team would probably have to answer. Again, these are my speculations. I don't know if anybody's asked that question.
That's why we saved the best for last. That's why we saved the best for last.
Well, thank you, Dan. If we could have the lawyers discuss it. I love you too. So, but I think it's an important question because we're not just looking now, we're looking down the road. So I don't want to forget anything. And that's all I have right now.
Okay. And Mary Lou, correct me if I'm wrong. I've now covered everybody, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Before we go to others that have questions, I see Vice Mayor Parnas. Vice Mayor Parnas, this is just for questions only at the moment.
I understand that.
Okay.
My understanding of the purposes for the county and all the cities within get into the garbage business to eliminate high cost and to do it the right way. Am I correct?
No, this purpose is to discuss the disposal, this is not about hauling. This conversation.
No, I understand that. I understand that. This is how we're going to
dispose
and recycle rather than using the current landfills we are now using for waste management.
It's part of the conversation. Everything's on the table.
Okay. I understand that. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody else, I've never done that before. Let's do this. Let's start in reverse order, and we'll start with Commissioner Tooley, discussion. And so everybody's aware, the agenda items for today are discussion items. There are no action items to be taken, so everybody's aware, because I know some folks were concerned of whether or not there would be any votes taken or decisions made. If there is a, for lack of a better phrase, a decision, it would be by consensus to do something at a next meeting. There are no action items on today's agenda. I know some have asked whether or not there were. And we will provide, as we always have, the ability for public input once the working group has completed its discussions. We had also discussed as a working group, once we got the answers from the TAC and had a discussion, we would then seek presentations from the lawyers that are assisting us on their thoughts as well about the questions and the contemplated next steps and the implications from a legal point of view on those, if my recollection serves me correctly. So let's start with discussion, Commissioner Tooley. I'm going to start, go reverse order.
Mayor, I really don't have anything else okay. right now. I may later, but I think you're right. It was my understanding that the lawyers would look into the all the questions and the answers and everything, and then we would go from there.
Okay, just want to check. Commissioner McMahon.
I don't have anything right now, thank you.
Thank you. Vice Mayor Mayerson.
None for me right now.
Thank you. Mayor Ryan.
Mr. Chair, first of all, thank you for the way you run these meetings so efficiently and getting us through this, as well as outlining for everyone what we're actually supposed to be doing here. Let me just as 35,000 square feet. It does seem like, unfortunately, as much as we'd like to generate an independent, I think that's going to be virtually impossible. I think we have to really work to bring all the municipalities in, because the ultimate goal is flow control and is such a necessary component to success. And in a dependent district, we have to be able to convince everybody that that's the way to go. This process of open discussion and transparency should assist in that ultimate goal. So I thank you, Mayor Sturmer. I would hope that all of the working group can go back and report, you know, to their own commissions and to your constituents that this has been a very transparent process. Obviously, between now and the next decision point, you know, we all have work to do with our staffs to work on this and hear from the lawyers. But this has been incredibly helpful today in refining where we're going. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mayor.
Dan, I just have a follow-up. I don't think we should throw out the independent district right now, because it has a lot to do with more to do with flow control. So I'd like to keep it in there.
It's not, I didn't suggest to throw it out. It's not nothing's being thrown out. I was just simply commenting from my perspective as to what I see as a potential. We obviously have to talk to the lawyers, so that for everybody else, I wasn't trying to set off a discussion as to voting or eliminating anything. Everything's still on the table, and I agree with you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Commissioner Good.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree that you are the one that keeps us all kind of pointing north, and I do appreciate that. So, independent, dependent, you know, it's a very important piece of us getting to a final solution, I think. And, you know, we're only a handful of folks, you know, sitting on this working group. You know, and I think most everything that we deal with on as a working group, as a small group, I think we can handle well. I just think that this dependent and independent piece is a little bit more of a challenge. And I don't know what is the best way that we could probably get some of that flavor into this group about, you know, a desire for dependent or independent districting. I mean, we saw a lot of the pros, we saw a lot of the cons, we saw a lot of stuff. But the one thing, though, that I know that I did see is nothing's impossible. But it's going to take the consensus of many of cities in Broward County to line up to make this successful. Because I don't think it's going to be successful if you only have half the county. I think you have to have the entire county. And we need to understand, too, that if folks are wanting to go dependent, or if folks are wanting to go independent, and I mean other electeds, you know, what is the basis for that decision of theirs? You know, is it just is it a real, or is it a perceived element? Because I think then, too, whichever direction we go, education is going to be a huge, huge part of that. And we're going to need some very, very strong voices like you, Mr. Mayor, and Commissioner Furr, and Mayor Ryan. I think you all have very, very, very good, powerful voices within this community. I think that's very, very important. So that's just my comments going forward. But I do think independent and dependent district is going to be the challenge for us. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Vice Mayor Habalana.
Thank you. I think I agree with Vice Mayor Good and some others. In the beginning of this process, I was very partial to, and I think I said this too, to an independent special district, but after learning from and hearing from our council and the TAC, I think I've become a lot more open to also a dependent special district option, just because of the flexibility and membership, taxing authority, lifespan that I thought were limited, and we would only have that that flexibility under an independent special district. So I'm really torn in between the two, and Vice Mayor Good said it, you know, it's going to be a really tough decision. But I think for me, it's between those two as our options that I think would be the best for, you know, our county. I don't know. And I also had a question. I don't know. Mayor Sturmer, you mentioned that, you know, folks are being pulled in different directions. Were you referring to the TAC or like the working group in general? Are people lobbying you guys, like different agencies or, you know, lobbyists? I haven't, you know, nobody has communicated with me about the working group. Like, I haven't had anyone reach out to me, you know, ask questions or suggest anything. So that was just something I was curious about. But that's all I have.
Thank you. No, with me, there've just been questions saying, you know, what's the format of what's going to go on today? Nothing. No one has tried to say anything other than just help me understand how it's going to go. They see what's on the agenda. That doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, it's, you know, that's what it's going to be. So, you know, particularly understanding, we know the public is out there. We know the industry is out there. We know other governments are out there. We know some of our colleagues are out there. So many people have questions. Many people are interested. And we have tried as a working group, and the TAC has as well. And I commend everybody for making this process, particularly over the last few months, since our last meeting when we were in Coconut Creek, to keep it as open and transparent, understanding the virtual nature of what we've been doing. So that's just purely a people I think are starting to see the process is moving further down the road. And I think they, you know, just want to make sure that everyone will have an opportunity to speak should they wish to say something.
Got it. Thank you so much. And I really appreciate the talk. I had sent in a few questions and I really appreciate getting those answers. And I see there's a question in the chat, Chair.
Thank you. Vice Chair Farr.
Thank you. I think it's time to use our imagination a little bit at this point to decide and get creative and decide what we want this to look like. We've gotten a lot of good information. There was one other one that made me pause a little bit, and that was the cost of the fourth burner. Because for any of us who have been looking at the total amount of waste that we have in this county, we're going to need a fourth burner at the minimum. That combined with a robust recycling center, so that we do not have to keep putting everything in the landfill. We still need the landfill, but we're going to need a fourth burner and a really good recycling center. So those costs combined are a lot. I guess we need to figure out, you know, what the mechanism is that we can do this. But, you know, I think when I look at the people that are on this, that have been putting forth their thoughts, and especially with the TAC and everybody, it's a good group. We got a hill to climb here, but I like the idea of being able to be flexible, of being able to make these decisions, and doing it together. County, city, you know, as everybody knows, most of the garbage is actually from the cities. The county only has a little bit. So it's, you know, this is something that I think that I know has a potential to really benefit cities a lot. And seeing what kind of situation we've seen over the last couple of years with prices rising, I think this is it's promising. I see the potential, and I look forward for us all come to the next meeting with some good thoughts. I think getting this PowerPoint, sharing it with our colleagues, going over all the possibilities, and hearing listening to what they have to say. We have to make a pretty big decision here. And, you know, we want to do it with the best, with all of our colleagues in mind. And they all, you know, with all of them having a chance to kind of weigh in. Because we are, like Mayor Ryan said, we're going to need all the buy-in we can get to do this. We're going to need everybody on board. This won't work if we only have half the county going with it. You actually need the flow control to be able to pay for burners, to be able to pay for recycling centers,
that required those. We saw the numbers. That requires everybody being on board and everybody being able to pointing in the same direction. So I look forward to the next meeting. And I want to thank you, Mayor Sturmer, for running a great meeting. Thank you. And the TAC for answering. Those weren't easy questions. You had to do a lot of legwork, and I think all of us are very appreciative of that. So thank you.
Thank you. And here's my thinking. We know we've discussed potentially, and the TAC brought back comments and during their presentations, we've always heard that there are potentially three forms of government. One of them is a dependent, one of them is an independent, and one of them is an ILA. As we know, there are pros and cons to each. I think now that we've got the TAC's first presentation, now that we've got the TAC's second presentation, here's what I would like to ask the working group to do, because I think we have some homework to do now with the legal counsel. I think it's incumbent upon us, Bertha, help me understand, with Keoki gone, who's here from the county on the legal side?
That's me.
Matt Haber.
Oh, okay. Sorry, got it. Okay, thanks. Sorry, Matt, my apologies. Let's
I
make
sure. Move my mouth as fast as you.
That's why he's a lawyer. Come on. Mary Lou, make sure we also, separate and apart from posting, but flip to Mr. Haber, Mr. Cirillo, and Mr. Cole, today's presentation, as well as the first presentation, and then have them start to prepare for the next meeting, because I think it's incumbent, as Beam says, we now need to start to get, now that we've gotten overviews from the TAC, responses to specific questions to the TAC from the working group, have the lawyers start to prepare in their views, strategies and pros and cons based on the presentations in the overview in light of the Arcadis initial report, to come back at our next meeting and start discussing the three potential avenues that are before us and pros and cons, and literally try to give us everything conceivable with regard to each of the three of them. That way we will be attempting to compare apples to apples to apples, just different varieties of apples, as compared to an apple, a banana, and a pear. I think it's important to, at least where we can, line them up, understanding there will be differences. But I think we need to, at least where we can, try to have the lawyers do that for us. And if anybody has any further questions from the working group for the lawyers, please send those to Mary Lou, and she will circulate those to Mr. Cole, Mr. Cirillo, and Mr. Haber. Does that make sense, Mr. Vice Chair?
Yeah, I think so. When do you envision trying to meet again?
My desire would try to be before the end of August.
Okay.
Knowing come September, we're going to have, budget here.
Right.
I'm trying to get it before the next month ends.
Okay.
I don't want to make it too short, understanding some folks are, it's the middle of people's summer break. So I'm just trying to be mindful of where people are, dealing with COVID issues and dealing with, storm issues.
Right.
We make it too short, not knowing what's going to happen, let's say this weekend. I don't want to put people under undue pressure to do that.
Okay. That sounds good.
Vice Mayor, does that make sense to you?
Yes. Thank you.
Vice Mayor Havilana, make sense to you?
Good for me.
Mayor Ryan?
All good.
Vice Mayor Mayerson?
Good for me.
Commissioner McMahon?
Yep, sounds good to me, thank you.
Commissioner Tooley?
I'm on board.
Cool, and we know Commissioner Glassman's not here. So let's do that. Mary Lou, please, let's also start polling the working group and the lawyers for a date before the end of August. So we can at least try to get that date on sooner rather than later, at least onto everyone's calendar, so we can nail that down and get everything distributed. And members of the working group, if you've got questions, like I said, please filter those to Mary Lou. You know, once you've had a chance to review the original presentation, the answers given today, you can have plenty of time to interface with your staffs for follow-up. And we'll go from there. Does that make sense?
Sounds good.
Everyone said yes?
Yep.
Goodbye there. We are now at the public comment portion of the meeting. If there is anyone from the public that would like to comment or ask a question, please raise your hand.
Mr. Chair, you do have a couple of questions in the chat. Commissioner Caggiano.
Commissioner Caggiano asked the question, what are the odds that the state would allow us to have an independent district? Peter?
I don't see the reason why they wouldn't. If the local government and everybody's on board and they put the right legislation together, I don't see why they wouldn't allow you to have a special district. You may have to go through some hoops to get it done, but I would believe that they wouldn't stop it in any way, shape, or form.
Thank you, sir. And that may be one of the questions that the lawyers may want to follow up on as well. I know Vicki Eccles asked a question, and Peter answered that already.
Yeah. Under independent, if you put an independent special district together, it encompasses everybody in the county, and that's why there is flow control under an independent special district, because everybody has to participate.
Mayor Ross?
I would like to compliment the TAC group for the presentation, not only for not just answering the question, but giving the backup and the background that affords us a better understanding. I like your idea, Dan, of having the group really converse about it. I would like to be a fly on the wall so that I can listen, not participate, but listen. And have the capability of, like we do now, raising the hand at a later date, you know, and giving our thoughts or questions. I think this is the right process to utilize.
Thanks, Mayor. And as everybody knows, you know, we are only a working group of nine. Once at the end of the process, whatever, for lack of a better phrase, decision the working group makes, that is really a recommendation out to the 32 governments, the 31 cities in the county. We have no authority to bind anybody. So, this is not a decision-making group. It is a fact gathering and information gathering group in an effort to then, as we say, as we've done before, a number of us on these calls have done before, you know, we're going to have to go out and, speak with, the 160 or so elected officials that represent, 32 local governments and get the best buy-in. And I'm sure we are going to need to utilize as part of the justification for wherever we get to the materials provided to us by the TAC in their original presentation. In their answers today, and then what's going to presumptively come from, the lawyers gave us, an overview at the very beginning as well, but then as they start to move through the process too, because once the nine of us make a recommendation, we're now going to have to go out to the 32 daises and literally educate everybody as to not only the options, but why the decision point was made by the working group to get to where we are. So at least that's my way of thinking about it, Mayor. So there'll be multiple opportunities for for input and questions. And I again also invite, if others have questions that are based on the presentations made, submit them to Mary Lou as well, because let's, as best as we can, if there are questions out there, let's try to get them answered by the lawyers. Mary Lou, I think I've covered them all, right?
I do, but I think I don't know that we asked for direct questions over the Zoom platform. We just read the ones that were in the chat. I'm not sure if anybody else has any other ones.
Yeah, I don't see anybody else. Does anybody else wish to ask any questions? Because I don't see any hands. Just checking. With that, I thank everybody.
Mayor Sturm.
Hold on, honey.
Before we're adjourning, we do have a special surprise for Mayor Ryan. Today is his birthday, and we join in wishing him all a very happy one, and thank him for all he does for the league and for all of his fellow electeds, and hope he has a very happy celebration.
I was doing everything I could to forget. These are coming far too rapidly. At my age, it's so much easier normally to forget, but I do appreciate the sentiment.
You must have just made 30. You must have just made 30.
Listen, I am not a fine wine that's getting better with age. It's more like a bottle that's been uncorked too long and is much more like vinegar than wine anymore.
There may be some that might agree with that, so be careful.
I know there are many.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Shout for that.
Happy birthday, Mayor.
Thanks all. Have a great day. So everyone stay safe.
Thank you.
Have a good dinner tonight.
And we will post the PowerPoint shortly.
Thank you. And with that, we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody, for your time, for your participation. And we'll say it this way. Please be safe, whether it relates to COVID or the tropical storm. We all have a job to do out there, and you know, we are working our hardest with regard to the COVID issue. Please, if you're an elected, please ensure that your city continues to message the need and the requirement to wear facial coverings, to practice social distancing, and to continuously practice good hygiene. And for those business organizations that are with us today, please make sure you do that same thing at your organization. The sooner we can, you know, knock this curve down, Bertha may have the ability to roll back some of the EOs that are out there, as opposed to continuing to need to institute them. And we appreciate everyone's understanding, but the curve has been going in the wrong direction, and it is imperative that we all do what we can every day of the week, regardless of where we are, to keep the message going. Thank you, everybody. With that, we stand adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.